You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along on today's show, recapping week two of the SEC season. Who are the big winners and losers from week two? Also, Arkansas with a big home upset of Texas. Georgia rolls without JT Daniels. A&M survives a scare up in Denver. The new age Kentucky offense continues to impress. And how about that quarterback controversy in Gainesville? We'll touch on it all. I'm Chris Gordy. Be sure to follow Locked On SEC for free. Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll get the latest episode of this show as soon as it comes out each and every day. And a quick reminder to check out some of our other great SEC podcasts across the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Razorbacks with John Neighbors. Locked On Bulldogs with Daniel and Clint. Find them wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's do it. Let's jump right into it.
Winner. And now, your winners of the weekend.
Real winners win.
And our winners of the weekend in SEC Week 2, we start with the Arkansas Razorbacks. Holy cow, what a freaking performance they put on, hosting the 15th-ranked Texas Longhorns in front of a packed, sold-out crowd in Fayetteville. The Razorbacks, they ran the ball down Steve Sarkisian and future SEC opponent Texas's throat all night long. Ran for over 330 yards on the night. Treylon Smith, Raheem Sanders, A.J. Green, K.J. Jefferson. The Longhorns could not stop them. The biggest winner of the night, defensive coordinator Barry Odom. He had a heck of a game plan. Held Texas to less than 120 passing yards, less than 260 total yards of offense. Racked up three sacks. Were able to get pressure with just a three-man rush. Welcome back, Grant Morgan. After getting ejected last week, he had 13 tackles. Hayden Henry with 15. And how about Bumper Poole? Had to sit out the first half of this one. He just racked up 10 tackles in playing in only the second half. Hogs were just the more physical team in the trenches. And another couple of winners from this game. Sam Pittman, huge win for him in year two of his tenure as head coach. Arkansas's first win over a top 15 team since 2016. And the other big winner of the night, Razorback fans. Some folks on social media made fun of them for rushing the field. But look, they absolutely deserve to soak this one in. All those tough years they had to endure under Chad Morris, under Brett Bielema, they deserved every minute of watching that beatdown of Texas. And I think for one night, majority of the rest of the SEC was there rooting for Arkansas too on Saturday night. It was an impressive win, to say the least. And good for Arkansas. We'll see how good they are and how this helps maybe push them forward throughout the rest of the season. But a monster win for them, to say the least. Who else? Winners from the weekend. How about Mike Elko, the Texas A&M defensive coordinator? Really earned his paycheck this week. Helped keep Texas A&M in the game while their offense sputtered against Colorado up in Denver. Mike Elko's defense held Colorado to just 260 yards of total offense, under 100 passing yards. Jaden Peavy had an interception. Andre White had a sack. But they forced seven punts from the Buffaloes. And the Aggies pulled out a gritty 10-7 win up in the thin air of Denver. Kudos to the Aggie faithful. They had a lot of fans make that trip up there. And they don't win that game without Mike Elko's defensive scheme. Jimbo Fisher may want to throw a couple of bucks from his $9 million a year paycheck towards Mike Elko for helping keep Texas A&M undefeated. Another winner of the weekend. How about the Kentucky offense? A massive win on Saturday night for the Kentucky Wildcats, holding off Mizzou 35-28 and improving to 2-0. Will Levis, he was just 10 of 18 for 179 yards, one touchdown, one pick. But Chris Rodriguez was the star of Saturday night for the Cats, rushing for over 200 yards, three touchdowns. The Cats showed they can beat you two different ways. At Kentucky O-line, really, really good up front. Wandale Robinson helped bail out Levis a couple times, had that big 49-yard bomb. Rodriguez, he also caught the touchdown from Levis. This is a game Kentucky probably would have lost in the past couple of years when their offense was in the Stone Age. Now, this new-age Kentucky offense, scoring touchdowns instead of settling for field goals. They get another tune-up game against Chattanooga before they go on the road to Columbia to take on South Carolina in a couple weeks. But you can't not like what you're seeing out of Kentucky and that offense under Liam Cohen. Another winner of the weekend, go with Matt Corral. Ole Miss got Lane Kiffin back on the sideline this week. And I know it was just Austin Peay, but Matt Corral just kept his foot on the gas pedal. 281 yards, 5 passing touchdowns, no INTs. He added 35 rushing yards. Through 2 weeks, Corral is over 660 passing yards, 7 combined touchdowns, no picks. If you had him as a dark horse Heisman candidate, so far, so good. Up next, Scrappy Tulane comes to town. Need to give a little bit of love also to the Ole Miss defense, which also is much improved. 5 sacks this week, a couple of fumble recoveries. They continue to show improvement, and that could mean very good things for Ole Miss as the season rolls along. Another winner of the weekend, Georgia defense. Just go ahead and pencil them in every week. I'll start with saying this. I know it was UAB, but this Georgia defense just continues to be so impressive. They held Clemson under 200 yards in week one. They did the same this week against UAB, just 174 total yards, 3 interceptions, one of them a pick six by Jamon Dumas Johnson, 3 sacks up front, a dominant 56-7 win for the Bulldogs. No reason not to think this defense can help carry this team throughout the season. They'll face a tougher test this week with 2-0 South Carolina coming to town, but the Gamecocks definitely need to get Luke Doty back at quarterback. You don't want the grad assistant, Zeb Nolan, to have to face this Georgia defense. And speaking of South Carolina, another winner of the weekend, Shane Beamer. Their game against East Carolina was not pretty out in Greenville, North Carolina, but the Gamecocks got it done, winning on a field goal kick, 20-17, and South Carolina is 2-0 to start the Shane Beamer era. Their defense got after ECU, gutting it out. Shout out to Shane Beamer and his staff. Undefeated, 2-0, probably better than most people had them a couple weeks ago. Another winner, Bryce Young. Some may have checked out on this game on Bama this week as they were hosting an FCS opponent in Mercer, but props to Bryce Young going out there, still taking care of business. Threw for 227, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Beat Mercer 48-14. Young so far has his name right up there in the Heisman conversation. He'll face a much tougher challenge this week going to the Swamp in his first real hostile environment as Bama will head to Gainesville. Let's see how he responds as the Bama starting quarterback. Another winner of the weekend, Vanderbilt and Clark Lee. Some quick love for Vandy and Clark Lee. Nobody really thought they had a chance going up to play at Colorado State on Saturday. They were underdogs, and yet they prevailed 24-21. First win under Clark Lee and Vandy's first victory since November 23rd, 2019. Keep in mind, they went 0-9 last year. Some were saying they may not win a game this year, so kudos to Clark Lee. Ken Seals threw a couple of touchdowns, and the defense did just enough to get them the win. And lastly, our winner of the weekend, going with the Auburn defense, posted a shutout against Alabama State, 62-0. They beat Akron last week, 60-10. Brian Harsin took them a quarter or so to get the offense humming this past week, but Derek Mason, the defense, they are doing their job. Held Alabama State to 176 total yards. Roger McCreary with a pick six. No matter who it is, it's always tough to shut out an opponent for 4 quarters. Credit to Derek Mason and his crew. A much tougher test comes this weekend going up to Penn State. And there you have it. Those are our winners of the weekend. When we return, we'll get to some of our losers of the weekend. That's coming next. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Prize Picks. Look, college football fanatics out there, if you haven't heard about Prize Picks, it is daily fantasy made easy. I love it, and I know you will as well. Prize Picks offers every sport you could think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, etc. They offer more college football props than anyone in the world and offer all the star players of the Power 5 as well as mid-major players you might not have even heard of. Prize Picks offers any prop you could think of from yardage to touchdowns, even interceptions thrown. All users that deposit and use our promo code will receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. That promotion is coming very soon. We'll keep you posted on when it is ready to go. But you pick 2 to 5 players and an over-under in their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. This is what you need to do. You need to go to the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Just search Prize Points. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It is that easy. Prize Picks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. Don't hesitate. Check out prizepicks.com or go to your app store. Download the app today. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and we gave you our highlights of the winners of the weekend in the conference, and now, unfortunately, we have to switch over and do the losers of Week 2 in the SEC. And we start with Tennessee's defense. Look, it's still not there yet. The offense still has their own issues, but they've shown some strides, some improvement under Josh Heupel. You score 34 points, that should be enough to win a game. But that Tennessee defense, just too many mistakes. Boneheaded penalties at times. Look, this isn't wrestling. You can't pick up a guy and throw him to the ground. They played hard, but the defense is not there just yet. They couldn't get Pittsburgh off the field in some key moments. Pitt dominated the time of possession, 36 minutes to just 23 for the Vols. A good job of keeping Pitt under 100 rushing yards, but too many open pass plays, and it was the difference in the game. One other note from this one, and it's a lose of the game. It happened before he got hurt and left the game. Quarterback Joe Milton has just no touch on his passes. Everything is thrown 100 miles per hour, overthrew wide open receivers left and right. Hendon Hooker did a little bit better job once he came into the game. I like Joe Milton a lot, but I think right now Hendon Hooker gives the Vols a better chance at winning games. We'll check on Milton's injury status, see where he is, but I think it's Hendon Hooker's job. Josh Heupel has a great track record of working well with quarterbacks. If Joe Milton does come back, he has got to teach him to take some zip off those passes and settle down in the future. The Vols fall to 1-1 in the season. They will get a layup against Tennessee Tech for a tough road test at the Swamp in 2 weeks. Another depressed portion of this weekend goes to Zach Calzada. I hate to be too hard on the kid, because he was not anticipating playing this past weekend. But Texas A&M starting quarterback Haynes King leaves the game with a foot injury early in the first quarter. Backup Zach Calzada had to come in, take things over. And plain and simple, he wasn't very good. He finished the day 18 for 38 for 183 yards, a quarterback rating of 49. I will give him credit, though. He made some gutty plays late in the game, led A&M first on what should have been a touchdown drive. When they say he fumbled into the end zone, resulted in a touchback, I thought he broke the plane. And then later, ultimately scoring what was the go-ahead touchdown drive. But for it being such a close quarterback battle all spring and summer, Calzada looked really off. The Aggies, they have to hope he improves in the coming weeks, as it looks like they're going to be without Haynes King for a little while he deals with that injury. The hope is Haynes King comes back at some point, particularly before the Alabama game, and helps them. But Zach Calzada going to have to improve for A&M if he's the guy moving forward for a little while. Another depressed loser of the weekend. I'm throwing Zeb Nolan in here. Look, again, another guy I don't want to hate on. But as much as we sang his praises in week one, the former grad assistant turned quarterback really struggled at times this week against ECU. He was 13 of 24, 214 yards with a touchdown and a pick. Had a quarterback rating of 31, really just struggled with accuracy at times. Josh Van helped him out, helped bail him out at times, but we thought Luke Doty was going to be back this past weekend. He was on the field throwing it around pregame warmups, but ultimately he did not play, and the Gamecocks leaned on Zeb Nolan the entire game. The hope is Doty will be back this week as they travel to Athens, because if Zeb Nolan has to face this Georgia defense, it's not going to be pretty. Another deep press of the weekend. I'm throwing LSU's offensive line in there. They were playing without Austin Deculus and Chasen Hines, two of their starters. But still, their backups have not played well. They played Xavier Hill, Charles Turner, Garrett Dellinger. Max Johnson was under constant pressure, had little time to complete easy throws. He was sacked a couple times, still threw three touchdowns. But in what should have been a stat-filling game against McNeese, Max Johnson had a quarterback rating of just 47. LSU will not get better this season until their O-line gets better. They get Central Michigan this week before they go on the road to Mississippi State. But that O-line has to get better for LSU, or else they're going to lose more games. And lastly, understand here, I'm not putting this in a technically in the loser category, but the quarterback battle at Florida. The quarterback conversation in Gainesville is not slowing down. No offense to Emory Jones, but the offense just seems to ignite when Anthony Richardson is out there. Keep in mind, Florida won a dominant game 42-20 over a bad South Florida team. That's besides the point. Emory Jones threw for 151 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. He also rushed for 81 yards and a rushing touchdown. But Anthony Richardson was 3-for-3 passing for 152 yards and two touchdowns, and also had four carries for 115 yards and a touchdown, including an 80-yarder late where he appeared to tweak his hamstring. That could be an issue, especially with that game against Alabama looming this weekend. We saw Richardson with an ice pack on the hamstring after the game. But I said I think Florida needs both Jones and Richardson if they're going to have a chance to beat Alabama this week. A lot of Florida fans, they're yelling for just Richardson to be the guy. You know Dan Mullen is hearing the noise, but I still think they're going to keep playing both guys until further notice. But man, Anthony Richardson is exciting to watch out there. When we return, we'll get to our honorable mention of the weekend in SEC Week 2. That's next. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at Sweat Block. Doctor created, doctor recommended. We've been telling you about the Sweat Block wipes for the last couple of weeks. And man, the weather is still pretty hot out there. If you were in Gainesville, if you were in Baton Rouge, wherever across the SEC, it was still pretty darn hot out there. If you are dealing with excessive sweating and it's becoming a problem for you, you need to try our friends over at Sweat Block. Their antiperspirant wipes are stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime. You go to bed, the next morning you wake up. Go about your day without worrying about sweat, guaranteed. I know it sounds too good to be true. Go check them out. If you or someone you know is dealing with sweating issues, check out Sweat Block. You can get them today 20% off at sweatblock.com when you use our promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You can also get them at Amazon and CVS. Go to sweatblock.com, use our promo code LOCKEDON, get 20% off Sweat Block wipes today. Built Bar is still the best tasting protein bar ever. 9 delicious flavors. When you talk to somebody who is a Built Bar fan, they're passionate about their favorites. Everything from raspberry, cherry, coconut, coconut almond, mint brownie, my personal favorite. Tons of different flavors. And there's something for everybody. If you haven't tried them all, I always recommend you get the mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. 17 grams of protein packed in there, only 130 calories, 4 grams sugar, 4 grams net carbs. That's in the majority of the bars. Some differ on the nutritional facts, but for the most part, these things are good for you. Order today. You can get that raspberry mint brownie, whatever you like. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your first order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off over at BuiltBar.com. Try them today. Well, along here, Locked On SEC, and we've done our winners of the weekend, or maybe not so losers. Normally we say impressed and depressed. Obviously, a lot of impressed this past weekend. There was some depressed, but I leave a little room open for a little bit of honorable mention. So we get into that now, and we start with our buddy Stetson Bennett. Yes, that Stetson Bennett, who continues to hang around in Athens, Georgia. We heard rumblings all last week that JT Daniels was probably not going to play. Some thought Carson Beck would get the start, and he did play, but Stetson Bennett handled his business 10 for 12, 288 yards, 5 touchdowns, no picks, also had a run for 20 yards. I know it was UAB, but this is one that could have been sloppy and ugly without JT Daniels in there. Stetson Bennett executed the offense great. He connected on a 73-yard touchdown to Jermaine Burton, 2 to Brock Bowers, 1 to Kenny McIntosh. Look, tip your cap. Stetson Bennett took care of business, gave the Bulldogs what they needed, and now they get a scrappy South Carolina team coming into Athens this Saturday night. We'll see if JT Daniels is back. After the game, Kirby Smart said JT got better as the week went on, really didn't know anything was wrong with him on Monday. He took most reps, and as the week went on, his chest and midsection was still kind of bothering a little bit. So we'll see. I would expect JT Daniels back next week. If not, it'll be the Stetson Bennett show. Or Carson Beck, whoever they decide to go with. Another honorable mention. I mentioned him briefly earlier, but a guy to keep an eye on this year and moving forward for Arkansas, backup running back Raheem Rocket Sanders. He is just a freshman, but he has shown some bursts this season so far. Only 15 carries for 94 yards and a touchdown. He had a 12-yard run against Rice in week one, a 26-yard run against Texas this week. He is a name to keep an eye on moving forward because he screams future star in the SEC. Another honorable mention, going to give credit to the Ole Miss run game. It is one of the more underrated aspects of Lane Kiffin and Jeff Lebby's offense, but Ole Miss runs the ball very well. It is a literal running back by committee. They rushed for over 330 yards this past week against Austin Peay, Henry Parrish, Jerrion Ealy, Snoop Connor. They even got John Rhys Plumlee going with 64 rush yards. Ole Miss in the passing offense, so dangerous because they are balanced. They can run or pass on you. And that will be a key if they're going to pull off some upsets in the coming weeks. Also, shout out to Lane Kiffin putting John Rhys Plumlee, take some snaps late at quarterback. Kept the fans interested in the blowouts. Another honorable mention, I'll give it to LSU's defensive line. Several sacks in week one against UCLA, but they got after it this week against McNeese. Sacking Coach O's son, Cody Orgeron, 8 times. Freshman Mason Smith looked really good. He had 3 of them. Andre Anthony at 2.5. But hopefully that's the kind of confidence builder that these guys at LSU need as they try to get after opposing quarterbacks more consistently throughout the season. Another honorable mention, Auburn wide receiver Demetrius Robertson, the former Georgia Bulldog. He had just 28 receiving yards last week against Akron, but this week, 3 catches, 61 yards, and not one, but 2 receiving touchdowns. Also had a carry for 36 yards on a rushing touchdown. We were worried about who would be able to step up as some go-to targets for Bo Nix in the passing game. But Robertson showing he can be one of those pieces. Nice little breakout game for him as an Auburn Tiger. We'll see if he can do it in future weeks. Another honorable mention, Mike Leach and Mississippi State. Really nice win against a solid opponent over NC State. Amazing when you go from 6 turnovers to none, how different you can look. Still not great on third downs. They were 3 for 13 in this one. But Will Rogers did enough, throwing for almost 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'll also throw defensive coordinator Zach Arnett in there. He did a good job holding NC State to just 10 points. A nice win for the Bulldogs when things looked bleak a week ago in a near loss to Louisiana Tech. A tough road trip up to Memphis comes this week. I'll be very impressed if Leach and company can pull out a road victory up in Memphis. Memphis is also 2-0. And lastly, I got to throw in Connor Bazelak. Love the way he fought Cole Kublik. Called him a damn gamer on social media. Not able to run the ball very well with Tyler Beatty this week against Kentucky, but Bazelak kept the Missouri in the game, throwing for almost 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, gave the Tigers a chance, but Kentucky was just too much. They get Southeast Missouri State this week, Missouri does, before an interesting road trip up to Boston College. And there you have it. That is week 2 in the SEC. So a lot of good things happening so far, and SEC not completely embarrassed by anybody just yet. So good things happening. Let's see if that'll continue on into week 3. Need to remind you as we get out of here, betting on the SEC does not have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, you can get daily picks, blowout specials, and Lee's lock of the day. Follow Locked On Bets, brought to you by BetOnline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Gordy. That's going to do it for me. I'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On SEC. And remember to subscribe. We're also on YouTube now doing a video version of the show, or you can just keep listening to the MP3, iTunes, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get the podcast. Subscribe to us. Give us a 5-star rating when you can. And we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.